I was talking to Shirek and Jamen yesterday, and when they moved here, it was the first time they'd ever encountered snow. And so Shirek says, "Why do you guys have 8 months of winter?" And I said, "Well, the reason it's so hot is we compress the summer into 4 months. So that's kind of how it works here." In recent times, I was changing our vehicle's winter tires and putting on the summer tires. This is one of my least favorite jobs. Summer tires to winter, and then winter tires to summer. When I did it this last spring, everything went good, basically as good as it could have. But a day later, I was in the garage, and I was sure I could smell gasoline. After a closer inspection, gasoline was dripping from our van. Sure enough, as I was jacking the van up to change the tires, I had not been careful enough where I placed the jack and damaged a fuel hose. I think given enough time and tools, I could wreck anything. A friend came and helped problem solve and ordered new pieces. Meanwhile, the gasoline kept dripping, now not into the floor, but in a container. It was probably dripping 1 gallon a day. But now everything smelled like gasoline. My hands smelled like gasoline, my clothes did, the house did, the other car did when we drove it. It was like everything was saturated in gasoline. This was going to be the Hauer's latest aftershave and perfume fragrance. Gasoline, the smell our friends will never forget. Eventually, the new part fixed the leak, and after airing out the garage, everything was back to normal. What fragrance do you smell like? What are you saturating your life in? What we hang out with is what we become like. Who are we hanging out with? Let's pray. God, you know all about us and the intent of our hearts, what we're pouring our lives into, what we're holding closest to our hearts. Are we allowing you to shape, mold, and fill us? We want your fragrance to fill our lives. Help us to love others the way that you love us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is in 1 John 4, 13 to 21. Ernie will have it up there. I'm going to read it to you. 1 John 4, 13 to 21. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate a brother or sister are liars. For those who do not love a brother and sister whom they can see cannot love God whom they cannot see. The commandment we have had from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters too. There were numerous controversies going on in the church in Asia Minor. One issue was that these Christians' values and belief systems were often contrary to the culture that surrounded them. They also had internal conflicts because some people were stirring up doctrinal issues about Jesus and creating confusion. The Apostle John brings a calming effect to the community by encouraging them to focus on the essentials of loving God and loving each other. Just like these churches, we can waste all of our time and energy fighting external issues that have little relevance to what really matters. In 1 John 4, 13 to 16, we see to know God the Father is to experience Christ the Son. Verse 13 begins by saying, "By this we know we abide in him and he in us." We must refer back to the previous verse to understand what John's talking about here in verse 12. It says this: "If we love one another, God lives in us." This verse assures the Christians in Asia Minor that the Spirit of Christ truly resides in them as they love those around them. None of us can love our neighbor or a brother or sister in Christ the way we should without the help and the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. Earlier in verse 12, John has stated, no one has ever seen God. But now in verse 14, the apostle is saying, we see that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. In what way do people see God working and moving in his mystery in the world? John answers this in verse 15. God can be seen in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God and they abide in God. Often when people start making choices toward Jesus, changes start happening in their lives immediately. But the difference is not only in the inside, it's very apparent on the outside. The person is almost glowing in their countenance, and everyone around them seems drawn to their life force that now emanates from the person. If this is what it's like when one person starts walking toward Jesus, what kind of impact would there be if a whole community put their trust in him? God has chosen to reflect to our world what he is like through the instrument of the Christian church, which is made up of people like you and me. Not only are we changing on a personal level, but those around us are changing as well. Each of us longing to be made more into the image of Christ so we can actively reflect what God is like. Verse 16, so we know and we believe the love that God has for us. Or as the New Living says, we know how much God loves us and we put our trust in him. We experience God's love and it is affirming to us through the work of the Spirit in our lives and the work of God through others within the Christian community. A woman testified to the transformation in her life had resulted in her experience of conversion. She declared, I'm so glad I got religion. I have an uncle I used to hate so much I'd vowed I'd never go to his funeral. But now, I'd be happy to go to his funeral anytime. Do not be too happy to go to someone's funeral. In 1 John 4, 16-18, he encourages us that we learn about pure love through God's example to us. The second part of verse 16 says, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. When we allow ourselves to be saturated in the love of Christ, much like a sponge does when placed in water, what pours out of our being should be the love of Christ. Verse 17 says, love has been perfected in us in this, the new living, and as we live in God, our love becomes more perfect. Our relationship with God is anything but stagnant and boring. It's daily changing and transforming. If your spiritual journey is not ever growing and changing weekly, monthly, yearly, something is very wrong. Our purpose of life shifts from everything being about us to now responding in God-like graciousness and forgiveness toward others. God's love is perfected in us as we express and pour his love out to those around us. If we are mature in Christ, it'll be evident in how we treat each other, forgive each other, and love each other. We can have the knowledge of the whole world, but if we're not exhibiting the simplicity of God's love, we are nothing but hot air, attempting to puff ourselves up. As a result of God pouring his love into the church in Asia Minor, and they in turn pouring their love into their neighbor, it says in verse 17, they can have a boldness on the day of judgment. Why? Because they're acting like Jesus in their world. The judgment seat, or the day of judgment, is referring to the day that each of us will stand before God and give account for our lives. The Apostle John affirms that when these Christians appear before the Lord, they can be bold or confident because of acting Christ-like in the day-to-day relationships of life. Verse 18 goes on to say, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. These Christians do not need to fear the day of judgment. because they've experienced the perfect love that comes from God. To know God in his true character is not to fear him. Rather, when one experiences the Father's unconditional love, it makes us run to him, even in the hardest situations, instead of running away from him. Philip Yancey, he says, the notion of God's love coming to us free of charge, no strings attached, seems to go against every instinct of humanity. The Buddhist Eightfold Path, the Hindu doctrine of karma, the Jewish covenant, the Muslim code of law, each of these offer a way to earn our way to find approval. Only Christianity dares to make God's love unconditional. There's nothing that we can do that'll make God love us any more than he does right now in this moment. We're challenged in 1 John 4:19 to 21. How we love each other reveals if we truly love God. Verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. By God extending his love to us through the sacrificial death of his son Jesus Christ, we can experience this love firsthand. At our worst, we're broken, selfish, and purposeless creatures. At our best, we experience mercy and love from God. And so now we share freely with all that we come in contact with. Verse 20 says, those who say they love God and hate their brother and sister are liars. This is a strong statement. But John believes that those who follow Christ are changed from the inside out. If we do not love our brothers and sisters, then God's love is not in us. John continues by saying, if you hate the people you can see, how on earth can you say you love God and you cannot see? It's like saying your favorite food is steak, but you're a vegetarian who does not eat meat. To say we love God without it affecting how we treat others is to deceive ourselves and to misrepresent what God is really like. This text ends in verse 20 by saying, the commandment we have from them is this, those who love God must love their brother and sister also. People who claim to love God but separate themselves from the church community. John is saying it's within the church community that the love of Christ is revealed through us. It's easy to say that we love when we never need to deal with disappointments, hurts, and misunderstandings because we isolate ourselves. It's within community that we grow in grace and humility, forgiving others and being forgiven ourselves. In a relationship with other Christians, we begin to grow up and change our self-centered attitudes, where instead of focusing on who is serving us, we become servants like Christ exemplified to his disciples on earth. A brilliant teenager, tired of reading stories to his little sister, decided to record several of her favorite stories on a tape recorder. He told her, now you can hear your stories anytime you want. Isn't this great? She looked at the machine for a moment and then replied, no, it doesn't have a lap to sit on. We need each other. We were made to care for and love each other. This happens when we're together. John's letter has strong words about our love for God, which is connected directly to our love for one another. We can limit the move of God's power in our lives and in our church community if we refuse to be transparent about the interior of our lives. In the Old Testament, it says that when Moses went up the mountain to speak with God, his face glowed because of being in the presence of God. So much so, he had to put a veil over his face when talking to other people. We mouth the words that we love God, and yet is the glow from the Spirit's work in our lives missing? Or has it faded? Or is no longer recognizable? When we spend time with others, do we influence them to want more of God in their lives, or do we spend our time gossiping and complaining? Whatever we allow to fill us, give our time to, talk about, put our resources toward, and dream about, we will become like. We can allow the love of Christ's Spirit to daily fill us, which will lead us to be merciful and loving toward others. Or we can fill ourselves up with hurts, resentments, and pride, which will lead to harshness, sarcasm, and bitterness, which isn't anything like Christ. We must ask ourselves if we are cold and indifferent to the plight of others, or are we soft and pliable? It is not important what our job is, what our age is, or what our gender is. What is important is at the day of judgment that we can say that we have followed Jesus' example and loved others and loved the Christian brothers and sisters around us. Let me encourage you that if you're aware of any hardness within or without, and you're missing the freshness of Christ's Spirit in your life, ask someone to pray for you. Let's pray. God, we surrender our lives afresh, anew to you this morning. We do not want to limit the Spirit's work because of holding on to past grievances and hurts. Come and free us so we can love each other the way you intended us to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Years ago, I ended up with a blood clot in my lung, and it took to get a diagnosis and treatment 6 days. Anybody that knows anything about blood clots, 6 days is an incredibly long time to have a blood clot in your lung. And as I was spending a little bit more time with God than I normally did in that hospital bed, one thing he showed me just ties in with this. It was that there were people in my life that were hard to love. I think we all have people that are hard to love in our lives. And what he showed me was that if I wanted to love my neighbor as myself, which Jesus said is the second greatest commandment, then I had to be doing the first greatest commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. And so I would just challenge you today, if there's someone in your life that you're finding just is really hard to love, take some time with God and just, like Pastor Lewis said, just take time to pray and ask God to give you what you need to be able to love that person. Because once you can, wow, there's a freedom and there's a joy that comes into your life and people start to notice. So anyways, that's my challenge to all of us. And let's stand as we continue to worship in song. Oops, sorry.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know is true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. Condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know is true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that this much King would die for me? Amazing love, I know is true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know is true. It's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. In all I do, I honor you. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, your face. Oh God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, your face. Oh God of Jacob, oh God, let us be a generation that seeks, your face. Oh God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble.
Amen. Be seated.
have a couple announcements. Benediction, we'll sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. Just a few reminders, our summer camp, just be praying for the kids that are going to be coming and for all the people that will be working through that week and all the preparation that still has to happen. This Thursday at 1 o'clock, there's going to be a funeral here for A.M. Dowhan, and we have a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. People want to bring sandwiches or cookies or squares, so make a note of that when you go out. If you want prayer today, there'll be people in the back corner that will pray with you. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that as we allow God to embrace us with his love, we will be people of love. But if we choose to do it on our own, we will never be able to love others the way they need to be, the way we all need to be. Amen.
You're going to want to stand for this last one.
Everything has breath. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll praise in the valley. Praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. Praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered. Praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise in the water, my enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to pray, Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise when I feel it, and I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. When praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How could it be inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you reign. Praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful. Praise 'cause you're true. Praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.